everybody loves a night out, whether it's seeing your favorite band in person or maybe being there in the crowd to cheer on your favorite team. Well, with the Vivid Seats Rewards loyalty program, you can go to the concert or show of your choice and earn credit towards your next live event. Vivid Seats is the top source for tickets for all the live events you want to go to. You can sort by price or look for seats in the section and row of your choice, all in the Vivid Seats app. To make things even better, Vivid Seats now has a loyalty program that allows fans to earn credit back. All you need to do is use the Vivid Seats app to purchase tickets and start earning today. Go to the App Store or Google Play and download the Vivid Seats app. Fans are automatically enrolled in the Vivid Seats Rewards loyalty program. Every purchase is backed by a 100% buyer guarantee. From the biggest concerts and games to the hottest theater shows and more, Vivid Seats has it all. Download the app and join the Vivid Seats Rewards loyalty program today. Make a memory that lasts a lifetime and let the Vivid Seats app help you get to your favorite live event. Enter promo code ESPN25 for 10% off your next order.
You know, it just makes me think that in life, sometimes instead of holding back certain things, we should just do.
If there's one thing the last 3 days has taught me, leave nothing left unsaid between you and your people. That doesn't mean I won't mute you, but I'm thankful for you, and I love you. Let's go around the horn.
And I think a lot of times we take stuff for granted. The fact that we're not going to be able to joke at his Hall of Fame ceremony.
From the TNT crew and the empty Staples Center to on the court, Philly's love for one of their own and all the lives lost, Embiid's turnaround, and players all around the league voluntarily giving up their numbers for Kobe, or in Quinn Cook's case, for Gigi, and the logo petition. The tributes show no sign of stopping. Ramona, I see your face right now. Are you having a feeling about anyone in particular?
Well, you know, I was listening to Draymond Green the last couple of nights, and he told some stories about, you know, how Kobe had reached out to him after they lost in the finals, and Draymond felt like everyone was against him, and Kobe just said, you know, you got to tune all that out. And it, you know, Draymond said he felt like he was a wreck at that moment. But the thing that got him, and what's been touching me so much over the last couple of days, is how many photos everybody has of themselves with Kobe. Like, not just NBA players, but fans off the street, just people around the world. Like, if you go on your Facebook feed, if you go on your Twitter feed, when did Kobe have time to take all those photos? When did he have time to have all these moments with all of these people? And it's a testament to him. And what I've been thinking about with him recently is he really let us know him, but also he really reached out to the world too. I mean, there's so many superstars who they keep their distance. They have a Twitter account or an Instagram account, but I've just read and heard so many stories of direct personal connections that Kobe Bryant had with people he either knew really well or just met, and they meant the world to them.
Emily Kaplan, you saw the tributes over the last 3 days. Do you have a takeaway from any of them?
Last night, to me, just illustrated the scope of Kobe's impact. You had that TNT broadcasting crew in a dark arena where they literally could not play a game because the team that knew him most intimately was still grieving. And then you've got Joel Embiid, who grew up in Cameroon. And if you listen to him after the game, he said the reason he yelled Kobe when he made that last shot is because that's what he always said growing up. He was always saying, Kobe, Kobe. It was like a meme because that's how ubiquitous Kobe was.
Right. And I think we all have done that. I mean, that's what I've been doing that with paper balls and baskets for as long as I've been doing the paper toss. Israel Gutierrez, I'll welcome you in here as well.
Yeah, watching Shaquille O'Neal break down and cry. I mean, that in itself was just such a powerful moment. Everything that he stands for, the strength that he has always shown, even if he's sort of pushing aside any actual feelings, him sort of leaning into those feelings and crying on national television just made you pay attention to that, right? And then you go to Joel Embiid, who you know, did the Kobe fadeaway. And Joel Embiid, to me, is the best combination, the only person in the league you can consider a combination of Shaq and Kobe. And so I thought for him to have the type of game that he had, not only shows you the impact of both and their influence, because here's this big man who was influenced by Kobe Bryant, a two guard, and sort of modeled his game around him despite his build. But back to Shaq for 1 second here. That it's so unfortunate that it takes a tragedy like this for people to put things in proper perspective. But you saw Shaq say to you, hey, this changes me. There is no me versus him. And you think about all the time, right? It's like at some point in your life as a basketball fan, you were either a Kobe guy or a Shaq guy when they were going through their entire thing. And now none of that matters. And, you know, Shaq, we love you, man. Like, take care of yourself and keep being like he's now looks like a grandfather to us. And I love it. I just want to see more of him showing the genuine him because, again, it's terrible that a tragedy needed to happen for this to happen, but it just really made people feel like they were in touch with Shaquille O'Neal, and I think that's a really good
thing. And now we welcome in Bob Ryan. Bob, in all your years covering the league, have you ever seen anything like this?
No, nor did I anticipate this kind of incredible, universal, worldwide outpouring of grief and feeling about Kobe Bryant. I just didn't understand how he had touched so many people in so many ways. I'm learning. I'm absorbing this. I'm continually fascinated by it. The idea of Neymar holding up the two and the four fingers after we scored the goal. The idea of a video tribute at the Rod Laver Stadium in Melbourne at the Australian Open, for example. It's amazing. I was struck though also by Shaq, and what it reminded me of is the idea that now, depending on your religious beliefs or not, or lack of belief, we really don't know exactly what state the spirit and of soul of if you believe in the soul of Kobe Bryant is right now. What we do know is when you do know someone, how you miss them. It's really all about you in the end. The mourning is about what you are going to miss. You're going to miss that company. You're going to miss these opportunities. You're going to miss these moments. I mean, that's what it comes down to because we don't know what kind of state the deceased are in. But we know how we feel about it. I have to say one other thing that I never thought about until it was just brought up about the Cameroon thing and about the Joel Embiid. Think about this, the link between David Stern and Kobe Bryant, because the only reason that Joel Embiid was able to see that game, game seven of the 2010 finals and relate to Kobe, was because of the internationalization of basketball, which is directly attributable to the work of David Stern. How about that?
Bob, thank you so much for saying that. How it's reflection, self-reflection. We see ourselves in those that we lose. It's an amazing thing. Ramona sees her career as it started covering Kobe. Israel does that as well. I see, as a parent who's experienced loss, I see Gigi in all this. And we've all, other people see things and some of them are negative. Some people see Colorado in this. And it's important to give voice to all those feelings. You guys know me. You know how much I love feelings. I always say give voice to feelings, but I say it that way so you don't squirm. Because what I'm really saying is take time to allow yourself to cry. If not, cry with others. That's what we saw last night. Shaq taking that opportunity. Ramona, he said he hadn't talked to Kobe in 4 years. How did you hear that?
You know, there was a moment when they hadn't talked, and they, you know, it was him against Kobe, right?
Yeah.
You had to choose sides. And I was thinking about Shaq's son, Sharif, who had posted a thing on Instagram or just the other day saying, you know, I just had been in touch with Kobe, and he might have been one of the last people that Kobe wrote to because they had been interacting a little bit on Twitter or Instagram and social media, called him Unc. I mean, the fact that their families had now become close, that Kobe had been mentoring Shaq's family is really incredible to me. And, you know, we're going to hear from LeBron James a little bit over the next couple of days. I know the Lakers had an informal practice yesterday. They had a lunch. And from people who were at that lunch, they said LeBron James had an incredible speech. Mm-hmm. And a lot of this is because they had just started to have the kind of close relationship that they've always wanted. Because before that, it was like alpha dog and alpha dog, right, man. That stuff doesn't matter.
Well, it's been a place for so many people to share their voices. And that's been an amazing thing here from all over the world, as you said, a worldwide moment to talk about death and talk about life moving forward. Number of Kobe-esque games as tribute in the NBA. We mentioned Joel Embiid. Trae Young's 45 the other night. Buddy Hield had that 42. He talked about growing up in the Bahamas, what it was like with Kobe. Eric Gordon's 50. Chris Middleton last night had a Kobe line. 51 points on 26 shots for the Bucks. Game Giannis didn't even play. Bucks scored 151. And they're 41-6 now. Here's a discussion I want to have about this team. Owner Mark Lazary this week said he was talking to Michael Jordan when the team was in Paris, and whether to take a shot at 70 wins or 73 or break the record there for wins. Jordan told him to focus on the championship, and Lazary went back at Jordan, we'll focus on the championship and beating the record. Bob, how does that strike you?
Well, I hope he did it with a grin on his face. I think that's a bit hearty. I think he should pay attention to what Michael Jordan said, because Michael Jordan said the truth. Yeah. And I don't know this gentleman. I know nothing about him. But he's on my list now. I'm sorry.
He's on your list, as in he shouldn't have been opening his mouth, because he's not the one. He's the one cashing. He's the one giving the checks, but not cashing the checks. He's not the one playing the game.
He'd better watch himself from now on.
Bob Ryan's got a list. Okay. Israel Gutierrez, how did you hear Lazarus saying, we're going for both? I want the record and I want the championship.
Well, I mean, to me, it's exactly what an owner who's just meeting Michael Jordan for the first time would say. Yeah, oh, I respect your opinion, but we're going to beat you. And I would say to him, it's just like, you don't even need to ask Michael Jordan what to do. Ask Draymond Green, Steph Curry, and those guys. They won 73 games, and it didn't result in a championship, and it certainly didn't result in six. And so I think that's an easy answer there. Whether or not the Milwaukee Bucks can do that, I think, is kind of interesting, because they're obviously based on yesterday, although, you know, the Wizards' defense, not great. They have a great team, can win 70 plus games, but can they sort of sustain a dynasty built around Giannis Antetokounmpo? And frankly, the direction the league is going, maybe they can, right?
Emily, are you asking Michael Jordan for career advice, and when he gives you something, you go the other way?
Yeah, this reminds me of 2016 when Warriors owner Joe Lacob told New York Times Magazine, our team
light
is
years
light
ahead.
Years
yeah,
away
yeah,
from everybody
yeah.
else. You know what? Four regular years later, they're kind of just like everybody else. So it's clear that, you know,
regular
now that,
years.
Well, when I went to Paris and I listened to MJ and I told MJ he was wrong, it's going to become the next laughingstock that doesn't age well. And you know what? He is wrong, because you shouldn't put such a premium on reaching records and putting all that pressure on the regular season. Just ask the Tampa Bay Lightning last year, who tied the NHL records in wins and then were swept.
Right. So we've seen that in multiple, multiple leagues. And we saw that even with the Patriots when they were undefeated that season. Ramona Shelburne, are you taking advice from Jordan and going the other way?
Well, I'm going to point this out about Joe Lacob. He said it after they had already won, okay? After they had already done something.
Right.
And you know what? He might have been right. Like, the Warriors were light years ahead in terms of the way that they managed their organization. They've just opened up a gleaming new arena. They had provided to, they were in position to pay for the super team if all four guys would have stayed. They just happened to get hurt. You know, look, Mark Lazary can say stuff like this. I love it when billionaires talk like this. He's a hedge fund guy. He's an aggressive guy. But you know what? So far, he's actually backed up that kind of talk. He funded the new arena that they have there in Milwaukee.
Yeah, okay.
He's paid for the very rich contracts there in Milwaukee. Now, it all comes down, though, can you keep Giannis?
Yeah. Israel Gutierrez, last word. You want to add to that?
And he needs to do it very soon, perhaps this year, start that run of championships, because, as Ramona just said, Giannis is going to have a wandering eye if he doesn't close the deal with a championship soon.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, when you say, Jordan, I want advice, and then you go the other way, who knows? Jordan's going to give a speech at the next Hall of Fame and rip you to shreds while you're doing it. One more thing from the NBA last night. You guys see this? Raptors, Hawks, Toronto wore the dino throwbacks. So Vince Carter played in the game with a team wearing a throwback that he wore before it was a throwback. Half man, all amazing. Yeah. We'll be back. Fire something.
Welcome back to Around the Horn, brought to you by Chase. Coming to you from the Seaport District at Pier 17.
Duke, Pittsburgh last night. Coach K did not like the chance at Pitt coach Jeff Capel. Told the crowd to shut it down. Cameron Crazies were saying, Capel, sit with us. K later apologized for not understanding it. And then he realized it was done with love and not hate. And then he said this. He told the Crazies,
let's
maybe this.
Let's a different cheer. Let's put it like defense. Yeah, let's go. Come on, Duke. Yeah. Let's go, Duke. Come on. Yeah.
Ramona, do you think Coach K has a future as a Cameron Crazy?
No, because, like, the point of being the Cameron Crazy is that you say stuff like that, and defense is not one of those ironic fun cheers. Look, when I think he thought it was something personal they were saying about Jeff Capel, because he was really mad. Like, I saw the video of this before I heard his explanation, and he was so mad, I just felt like he's upset about something else. And maybe he thinks they're saying something personal about Jeff Capel, who's from there. I know Kay was really close with Kobe. He talked about that in the press conference later. Like, he just must have been in a bad place when he heard that.
Emily Kaplan?
All I have to say is when you wake up in the morning and everyone on the internet and everyone, their mothers and their fathers, is defending the Duke student body, then you're probably on the wrong side.
Well, I don't know. I mean, Israel, how did you hear it last night? And you saw Kay, you know, he made an apology at the end.
It was so strange. It was kind of like watching Mike Bloomberg pet a dog. It's like, that's not how you're supposed to treat the crazy.
Okay,
It's like, what happened? And then you realize what happened, and it's like, oh, okay. He was just in an emotional place and feels like, I give him a pass for this. And, he's been very close with Kobe. He's probably had a lot of difficulty the last several days. And so he thought he heard something and went a little nuts. But, man, it was just weird to look.
Yeah, there's been a lot weird. Okay, and Bob Wright, how about you?
He was frighteningly unhinged.
Momentarily. Temporary insanity.
And nobody has a face that can scrunch up just quite the way Coach K can.
Well, you're doing a pretty good job. Is Coach K on your list right now, Bob Ryan?
No, I give him a pass.
Am I on your list? You got 5 points right now.
You'll know in about 10 minutes.
Buy or sell too. Drew Brees retirement talk isn't idle chatter. That's Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk. Florio writes that Brees will take a month to decide, but also, quote, the Saints want Brees back for what would essentially become a transition year from Brees to Taysom Hill, with Hill becoming the starter in 2021. His source is telling him Hill's going to be used extensively in 2020, especially with some regret that he wasn't used enough in the wild card loss to the Vikings. Emily Kaplan, how does that all sit with you?
I'm selling all of this. Look, I understand that Taysom Hill played great in that Vikings-Saints game. I understand he's selling a lot of jerseys, and he also built a really good relationship and reputation with players and coaches. But are they just forgetting about Teddy Bridgewater? Like, Taysom Hill is not going to be Lamar Jackson overnight. Why don't you make a transition to Teddy Bridgewater, who shows you don't have to change the offense around him. He can play. He's gone 5-0 as a starter in this offense. 9 touchdowns, 2 interceptions.
Andrew Gutierrez?
68% passing, 27 years old. Why are we leapfrogging? Why? I'll tell you why. Because everybody's fallen in love with Lamar Jackson. The problem with the Lamar Jackson-led offense trying to replicate it is that you don't have Lamar Jackson. And I know Taysom Hill is good, and, you know, as a change of pace guy, he has been very good, but we haven't seen him carry a team for an entire game, much less an entire season. I think it's just kind of jumping the gun.
Bob Ryan, I'll add one more report here. Jay Glazer from Fox said he thinks the Saints think that Taysom Hill could be the franchise quarterback going forward. Where are you with this?
Well, I don't know. Maybe that's the case, but I'm thinking more about it in terms of Drew Brees and the kind of guy it would take to go along with this kind of a deal. What they're going to have? He's going to be like the starter, and he'll be the closer in the fourth period, or when they get to the 20-yard line. I'm not sure. It takes a pretty big man to live with that. I think Brees would have a little problem with that.
Yeah, like, I'm okay with it because I think Drew Brees has done better when he has some time off. Like, last year when he was injured, he was better at the end of the year because he had some time there than the year before where he really faded towards the end. I think if he's okay with that setup, it actually might be a good look for them because when you would use Taysom Hill in those run pass option sets, they were pretty effective. Now, it is a copycat league. Everyone's looking for the next Lamar Jackson, just like last year when they were looking for the next Sean McVay. It doesn't always work out that way, but if they see something in the kid, I like the idea.
Buy or sell three, prime time with Dan Patrick.
Everybody, Tom, Dick, and Harry, you're a Hall of Famer. You're a Hall of Famer. You're a Hall of Famer. And he let everybody in this thing now. It's not exclusive anymore. Randy Moss, Hall of Famer.
Absolutely.
Like, you don't have to think about that.
Barry Sanders.
You don't have to think about it.
Eli Manning.
You got the punt of the thought.
Patrick had that one loaded. Bob Ryan, buy or sell.
I'm selling. First of all, there have been offensive players who have been inducted into the Hall of Fame who made more tackles in their life than Deion Sanders ever did.
Whoa!
I don't want to hear about it.
Whoa!
From Deion Sanders.
Deion's on the list. I know that for a fact. Mo?
You know I'm right.
You know, it sounds a little get off my lawn, right? And I think this is what inevitably happens with Hall of Fame debates. Like, once more people get in there, there's more justifications for guys like Eli Manning. But it kind of just sounds like Deion is competitive, saying, like, Eli's not all that.
Emily?
It seems personal between them.
I've done the math. There are 275 players in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. There's about 26,000 men who have ever suited up in the NFL. Okay. About 1%. Is that too exclusive for you?
Israel Gutierrez.
I mean, I have played some defensive back, but I don't necessarily agree here with Deion Sanders. Bob actually gave us a really good idea in the conference call this morning. He said, everybody that comes in, you got to take somebody out of the Hall of Fame. I'm in for that. One's got to go every single
year. Well, then it's not a Hall of Fame. Then it's not a Hall of Fame. Then it's Survivor. All right, there we go. Gutierrez, I know I'm on your list, Bob Ryan. Sorry, we got to go. Shelburne Kaplan, showdown in 2 minutes.
There's crispy, and then there's crispy-er. Try our new and improved Tyson Crispy Chicken Strips. Crispy just got crispy-er.
Shelburne Kaplan, good luck in showdown. Zion game 4, 14-9 in 30 minutes and a win. Pelicans 2-2 now with them. Mark Spears reported, a source told him Zion wants to play in the Rising Stars game All-Star weekend. Momo, should Zion play in the Rising Star game? And how do you think the Pelicans wanted to answer that question?
The Pelicans want him to say no. I want him to say yes to the dunk contest, though. Forget about the Rising Stars. That's what I want to see in the dunk contest.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Emily?
I feel like there's way more chance of getting injured doing a fake dunk than playing in a fake basketball game, so I'd rather see him play in this fake basketball game.
All right. I'm with Emily then. The only dunk contest I want is Dwight Howard versus Vince Carter, Momo. Can you make that happen?
True.
Showdown 2, Darren Fox's game-tying intentional free throw missed layup from the other night. We talked about this yesterday. According to the two-minute report, should not have counted a lane violation. Kings wound up beating T-Wolves in overtime. You making an asterisk decision here on this win? Are you trying to take it away, Emily? What are you doing with that information?
I'm putting an asterisk on the Minnesota Timberwolves, who decided that they didn't need to box them out and didn't even look prepared for this possibility. That's what's wild to me in this play.
No, there's so many times where people try to do the free throw like this at the end, and they never get it right. I love how he executed it.
I agree with you.
I don't even care that the rule is wrong.
I agree with you.
I didn't even know that rule.
Yeah.
Count it. It's great.
The ends justify the means. It was incredible. The rule is you can't break the plane with your... It's not even when you touch. It's the plane. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
It shouldn't be that.
Yeah.
This should be allowed in the game. Ramona Shelburne, you should be allowed to give 30 seconds of FaceTime now.
Well, guys, last night I was out on the balcony here at LA Live covering the death of Kobe Bryant, his daughter, and seven others in the helicopter crash. And there's been a memorial that's been sort of set up here where fans are just coming. And right in the middle of one of my live chats with Neil Everett, a band starts playing. And I'm like, it was like a pep band. I didn't know what was happening. And I tweeted about it later, and everyone started explaining this to me. This is a tradition in Mexican funerals where it's called a banda. And they played a song called Un Puño de Tierra, and it's essentially the message is life is too short. Everything that you leave with you is memories. The only thing when you die you take with you is a fistful of dirt. It was so moving. I'm so glad I got to learn about that. Thank you to Banda Imperio for playing that for Kobe Bryant and his daughter. Seven.
Thank you.
And there are reasons why this tradition exists in Mexico, or Sit Shiva exists for Jewish people as well. Yeah, we'll see you tomorrow. 23 hour break.